Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
If you walk around New York right now, you'll see a lot of people without masks, which makes sense since the CDC has advised that fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks for many outdoor activities. But you'll also see a lot of people still masked up. And maybe there's someone in your life who is fully vaccinated but still not ready to be barefaced outside. The fact that so many are still choosing to wear a mask has inspired anger and frustration among some. An article in The Atlantic ran with the headline, "The Liberals Who Can't Quit Lockdown." 538 founder Nate Silver tweeted, "I'd argue one side of irrationality is if a person doesn't change their behavior much after being vaccinated." And a post from Twitter user at @ActNormalOrElse reads, "There is a small but loud and absolutely real subset of people who don't want the pandemic to end because they like being the best at following the rules." That tweet has over 100,000 likes. But reporting from Shayla Love, a senior staff writer at Vice, uncovers a more likely reason people are still wearing masks: serious trauma. Shayla joins us now to discuss her piece from Vice, which ran with the headline, "People Aren't Addicted to Wearing Masks, They're Traumatized." Shayla, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Allison.
And listeners, we want to get you into this conversation. We really want to hear from you. Are you fully vaccinated but still wearing your mask? Tell us why. Have you felt judged by others for that decision? We want to hear your experiences and your opinions. And as I say often, this is a judgment-free zone. So don't worry about that. Give us a call. 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. Are you vaccinated but still wearing a mask? We'd love to hear why. Again, a judgment-free zone. That said, if you want to remain anonymous, you can always DM us at Instagram at @AllOfItWNYC. You can also tweet to us at @AllOfItWNYC, same handle. So Shayla, thank you so much for sharing your reporting. This piece was really interesting. You did some really good research and talked to a lot of really interesting people. I just want to kind of have an overview question for you as someone who spent a lot of time writing and thinking about this. Why do you think some people have become angry at those who aren't yet willing to take off their mask or hang out inside with other people? Why does that personal choice seem to inspire anger?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons, but one related to this piece has to just do with the incredible mosaic of experiences people have had over the last year. I think that there are some people who have come out of the past year relatively unscathed. They might live, you know, in a home where they had a lot of outdoor space, and really their only issue is that they feel really claustrophobic and they're really eager to get back to everyday life. And so they're fully vaccinated. The CDC says it's safe to go outside without a mask on, and they're just ready to get back to that way of life. But as I document in my piece, there are a lot of people who have been through a lot in the last year, and they're still dealing with a lot of grief or depression or anxiety or PTSD from losing family members. And so that transition is just not as easy for them. And so, you know, I think it's tempting to divide this along political lines, and we can get into later how masking has become kind of like a social signal to others about what you believe about COVID-19. But I think a big reason why, and one that I wanted to highlight because I didn't see it being talked about that much, was just that people need a little time. Like, they need a minute. They might have been through it. And if you haven't been through it and you're ready to go back, it might just mean that you've been lucky.
Yeah, there's part of this too, that when you wore a mask, you were seen as, by many people, as being very responsible. And this past year was about collective responsibility towards each other. And I'm wondering if people have found it difficult to transition back to thinking about individual decisions, you know?
Yeah, well, I spoke with some people who are fully vaccinated but still wearing their mask outside. And they talked about how, you know, over the past year, there have been some people who have refused to wear masks or denied the severity of the outbreak. They could also now be resisting getting the vaccine. And again, we could talk about this politically, but also for people who've lost somebody in the last year or who've been really anxious or stressed about COVID, these behavioral social signals can exacerbate those symptoms. So I spoke to one woman whose grandmother died, and then she had a very serious case of COVID. And she said that since the beginning, other people haven't wanted to wear masks, and they've been saying awful things to her and making jokes about how they're immune or they have nature's vaccine. And all of those get wrapped up in her grief for her grandmother and her stress and anxiety about what she physically went through from having COVID herself while she was grieving. And so, you know, these things can't be disentangled from each other. You might have a more emotional reaction if you've had a personal loss in your life. And so I think that's really important, an important piece of this, too.
For your reporting, you talked to some mental health care professionals who said that there are two categories of people who might be the slowest to resume activities as they did pre-pandemic. What are those two categories?
Yeah, so a small caveat is that there are lots of reasons why people might continue to do things like wear their masks outside. And I touch on that briefly. If you have kids that are unvaccinated, if you're immunocompromised, but speaking about mental health particularly, experts said that people who had pre-existing mental health disorders, so things like OCD or anxiety, health anxiety, are likely to have these behaviors become a little stickier as we transition to loosening policies and guidelines. And then also people who had highly stressful or traumatic experiences during COVID themselves. So if they had COVID, if they have long COVID, if they lost somebody during COVID, all of those groups might find it harder to start to loosen up. And then, you know, a defining feature of the pandemic has been inequality. And so people who are feeling the heaviest burden of depression are those who have low incomes and low savings, and those who are more directly exposed to the stress of pandemic, like essential workers. So that includes doctors and nurses. It also includes Amazon drivers and delivery people and the people who have really been working to keep society functioning this entire time that many others have been at home.
We are talking to Shayla Love, senior staff writer from Vice. She wrote a great piece called People Aren't Addicted to Wearing Masks. They're traumatized. We want to hear from you. Are you fully vaccinated but still wearing your mask? We'd like to hear why. Have you felt judged by others for that decision? Has anyone confronted you? We want to hear your experiences and your opinions. Again, judgment-free zone. Give us a call, 646-435-7280. We've got a lot of calls, Shayla. Let's talk to Liza on line two, calling in from Park Slope. Hi, Liza. Thanks for calling All of It.
Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on in your household?
Well, so I'm a parent, and both of my children wear their mask reliably. And since my children still need to wear masks because they're not going to be vaccinated for quite some time, they're young, they're 2 and 7, I still wear a mask outside with them, partially to model for them and make it normal. And I think that question of people who are have either children in their home that they're taking care of or they have family members who are immunocompromised, I think that's a lot of the reason for continued masking, especially because when people are unmasked, I don't know if they're vaccinated. I don't know always like the safety level of who we're interacting with. So if we keep masked, we're at least in control of that safety.
Liza, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Nina on line 6. Hi, Nina. Are you still wearing a mask?
I am, actually. It's funny. I only don't wear it when I'm bicycle riding, but I still am hesitant to take the subway or the buses. So I'm wearing a mask mostly because this is unprecedented. It's untested. This is all brand new. We don't really know the long-term ability to capture the virus, even if we've been vaccinated, and spread it to somebody else. So I'm kind of wearing it just for other people, especially the fact that I am the sole caregiver for an elderly parent. She's vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. But I still carry that paranoia with me that this thing is untested and unproven long-term. So I'm just really worried for both of us in our lives.
Nina, thank you for sharing your story. Let's talk to Mark on line 4, who's calling in from Ridgefield Park in my home state of New Jersey. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling in.
Wow, Allison, I didn't know you were also from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Jersey girl here.
I thought of you as like a commensurate New Yorker.
Well, my dad grew up on 143rd Street, so I kind of consider myself a little bit of both.
I lived 45 years in New York, and I've lived in every borough, so I am definitely a commensurate New Yorker. Now I live in New Jersey. I like it here. Yeah. I'm actually, well, I don't want to get into the future yet, but as far as the masks go, people are pretty good around here. Mm-hmm. There have been some that they just don't like to wear the mask, and there's nothing I can do about it. I wear it when I go into my elevator because it is an enclosed space. Mm-hmm. I try to keep it on until I leave the building, and if nobody's around, I take it off because it's more sparsely populated. I can't imagine how I would deal with living in New York right mm-hmm. now with everything that's happened.
Yeah.
I happened to be on 57th helping my dad out with something yesterday, and I did notice most people were wearing masks, and it just seems to me that people just want to keep the masks on, if that's what they're, you know. And I wouldn't call it an addiction. I definitely wouldn't call it an addiction, but whether it's a trauma or not, I don't know. I think people just want to be safe.
Right.
And, I don't blame them. I think it is a good thing. Also, everything is in research, the vaccine, even though there is data that it makes you safe. It's not 100% at this time yet.
Yeah, it's so interesting you should say that, Mark, because I want to get back to Shayla. Shayla, you've been listening in to our callers. Does what they're tracking track with what you found in your reporting?
Definitely. And I want to speak to the second caller who mentioned immunocompromised family members, mm-hmm. because when I was reporting this story, it was really important for me to include somebody in that community. And I spoke with an 18-year-old woman in Oklahoma whose 13-year-old sister died last summer. And she had an autoimmune disorder. And she talked to me about how she still wears her mask out of honor and respect for her sister and others who are immunocompromised, who, even if they're vaccinated, aren't as protected as other people. And so that's just, another sort of invisible reason that you might see somebody wearing a mask. They're trying to protect an immunocompromised family member. And that sort of just combines with her grief of losing her sister at such a young age. And so I think that's such an important piece of this story.
I wanted to ask you if you talked about this at all. I know I read your piece, but I'm curious because my friends and I have been having this conversation as people who really believe in science and believe in the science of social distancing and the science of masks and a science of vaccines, that if you're someone who really believes in science and you're going to follow the science, if the science is saying it's okay to take off your mask, should we be doing that to support the science?
Right. Well, this is kind of the argument of the Atlantic story, which is that if you don't follow the CDC updated guidelines every time there's an update to a T, you're anti-science or you're not believing in science. And I think that it just ignores the role that emotions and psychology play mm-hmm. in our life. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I spoke with a woman who's 35. She lives in New York City, and she told me she read what the CDC update was, that you can take your mask off when you go outside. She believes it completely. She's vaccinated. She's so grateful. She trusts the science that helped create these vaccines in a miraculous period of time. But she's just still not ready, and that has more to do with her anxiety. And it doesn't mean that she'll never be ready or she'll never take her mask off. But again, there are personal differences and personal narratives that are going to lead us to individually arrive at different places at different times. And like I say in the piece, an individual decision to leave your mask on while you go outside is very different from an individual decision to not get vaccinated, for example, because it doesn't incur risk onto others. It's just it truly is just a personal choice of excess caution. To the last caller's point, the pandemic is certainly not over. We're talking about mm-hmm. stepping back on some of our more cautious behaviors. The pandemic is certainly not over. Pandemic, if we think about what the word means, it means global, and globally, we're really not doing well. The vaccination rates are slowing down in the U.S. So I think there's a lot of reason to just be cautious and calm with people who are taking their time, especially because it doesn't incur any risk onto others.
Here's a couple of interesting tweets. Fred on Twitter: I am fully vaccinated. The pandemic isn't over. When case levels drop to close to zero, then I will stop masking outdoors. Kai on Twitter: I think moving forward, I will always wear a mask on the subway because I haven't been assaulted by subway smells like before the pandemic. Our number is 646-435-7280. Will you share with us if you are fully vaccinated and you're still wearing a mask? Let us know why. Have you felt judged by others for that decision? We want to hear your experiences or opinions. If you feel the other way, you can call in too. As I said, no judgment zone. 646-435-7280. My guest is Shayla Love. She's a senior staff writer at Vice. She's sharing some of her reporting from a piece called People Aren't Addicted to Wearing Masks, They're Traumatized. After the break, we'll talk a little bit about politics and mistrust of the CDC and state policy. This is all of it. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest this hour, my guests are you guys. We want you to call in and let us know, are you fully vaccinated but still wearing a mask? Why? How do you feel about that decision? If you're someone who thinks, hey, everybody should take off your masks if you're vaxxed, we'd love to hear from you too. Our number is 646-435-7280. My guest is Shayla Love. She's a senior staff writer at Vice. She wrote this great piece called People Aren't Addicted to Wearing Masks, They're Traumatized. So Shayla, you touched on this at the top of our interview, but I kind of wanted to get to politics a little bit later on. And you write about in the piece how masks have become a social and a political symbol, a way to express how you are experiencing the pandemic and your thoughts about experiencing the pandemic. How has the symbolic power of the mask affected people's decisions about continuing to wear one after being vaccinated?
Yeah, well, I think one of our callers phrased this perfectly, which is that when you see somebody outside who's not wearing a mask, it's not easy to assume that, wow, that person must be fully vaccinated, or they're really reading what the CDC is saying is safe now, that there's not always that easy signifier that that's what a maskless person means. Instead, it could mean that a person has decided not to get the vaccine, for example, or that they haven't been adhering to mask guidelines from the beginning. So there's this ambiguity because these other social signifiers have come in about what masking does and doesn't mean. I think when we're talking about outside, all evidence suggests that it's very low risk when you're outside, but I think still people are really concerned about what it signals about past behavior and other personal choices that individual has made.
You know, CDC guidelines and advice has been changing throughout the pandemic, which makes sense. Conditions change, research leads to change. But if you think back a year ago, mask wearing was not only not encouraged, it was almost discouraged. In your research and your conversations with people, how much of this has to do with some sense of trust of the CDC and of the government?
I know. And, you know, it's really a shame that it took us so long to recognize airborne transmission versus droplet transmission, which is the sense that you're going to get this by it passing through the air rather than touching things like your groceries. I remember, you know, the day that I stopped washing my groceries and I felt so relieved to do so. It was a huge relief. But I think, you know, it's not just trust, because I think people recognize that this is a new virus that we've never dealt with before. How could we possibly get everything right away, right? There were updating things as soon as we know them. But, you know, The Atlantic's Catherine Wu has a really good phrase that I think captures what a lot of people are feeling, which is called post-vaccine inertia, which is this idea that once you're doing something, it's annoying and it's difficult to change it all the time, depending on every single update. Mm-hmm. And so once you've got the inertia of doing something, let's say putting on your mask when you go on a walk, it's hard to say, oh, well, now this says I can do it differently. Oh, but maybe it'll change next week. And then you get backlash from changing it a lot. So I think some folks feel that, you know, they're doing the things that they know will keep them and their family members safe, whether that's putting a mask on when they go take a walk around the park. And they're just going to keep the status quo for a little while and just keep doing that because it doesn't incur risk to others. It's something that they've been doing for a while, and so they've built that habit. And then they can just make less modifications over time. And so I think that concept of inertia is really, really helpful, because we can still trust the CDC while saying, I just don't have the mental capacity to try to be changing my habits every single week or every month or something like that. Let me just do what I know is safe.
Let's take a few more calls. Amanda has been holding. She's in, I think, East Williamsburg. Hi, Amanda. Thanks for holding, and thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Glad to be on. Yeah, I am fully vaccinated. I never got COVID. I live by myself, and I still absolutely wear my mask outside, but mostly as sort of a signifier to everyone around me that it's not over. There's plenty of people that are not like you or me or, you know, that are still compromised or have different life situations. And I think that it's especially with a lot of the anti-mask situation happening, it's a good way to almost not counter protest, but to communicate subtly that we are here to take care of the community that we live in, and that that's more important to get through this versus, you know, trying to push back on something because you don't like being told what to do. So I continue to wear it, and I will continue to wear it until I think the other caller mentioned, like, it's down to almost zero and we're out of the woods. But I know that that might not happen for, like, maybe another year. So I'm just sort of used to it, and I feel good about it.
Thank you for calling in, Amanda. Ruth on Twitter said, I tried to walk around without a mask the day the CDC said we could, but got dirty looks. So I wear it for the kids, but I will at least take it off to get some sun. We need hats with a big V on them. Let's go to line two. This is interesting. We have a husband and wife. They're both on the line, Diego and Mariana. They have a difference of opinion. They're, you know, not angry about it, just a difference of opinion. Mariana, are you the mask wearer or not the mask wearer?
I am the mask wearer.
Make your case for wearing your mask.
You know, it makes me feel more comfortable. I feel that it's a sign of respect. I'm fully vaccinated, but I don't know. It's maybe I've just formed the habit, and I feel more comfortable also when it's windy and cold. It's nice. And yeah, I don't know. It's a thing that... Now I'm used to it. I imagine when it gets very warm in the summer, I'm going to want to take it off. But right now, I prefer it, actually.
Diego, how are you feeling?
Well, every time that we go out to the street, I tell her, hey, remember, the CDC said already that we can take it off when we're walking on the street. And if we're both walking on the street and one's wearing the mask and the other one isn't wearing the mask, there's kind of no point. So let's try to... I try to... in a very delicate way, but then we bicker and then it becomes an issue. So I just stopped, and I don't wear it whenever I'm outside, and that's it. It's I don't want to ruin my marriage. I love her very much.
One, you guys are very cute. And Diego, would you share why you feel confident, why you're feeling okay about not wearing a mask?
Well, we had it when it first started in March, last March. It was really, really bad. We had it for maybe almost a month, and we didn't go to a hospital because we couldn't and we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And our doctor told us not to, you know, at the moment do it. And then we got vaccinated. So I feel that, you know, we need to push through and try to live as normal as possible and, you know, respect everyone. And I get those looks. I just heard another caller say that, you know, you will get the eyes of like, hey, you're not wearing your mask. But I internally say the CDC said, you know, it's okay. And we're all human, and the CDC is made out of humans as well, but right now we feel that we can do it, and we'll be fine.
Diego, Mariana, thank you so much for calling in. You guys are the best. That was really interesting. Thank you for calling. My guest this hour is Shayla Love, senior staff writer at Vice. She wrote a great piece called People Aren't Addicted to Wearing Masks. They're traumatized. We might have time for a few more calls if you want to call in on the subject. 646-435-7280. It's so interesting, Shayla. I've read so many different articles, and each one has a slightly different take on why people might be wearing masks. There was a piece in the Guardian that talked about those who enjoy wearing a mask because they like the anonymity and protection from the public. I'm going to read you a quote from one bookstore worker who said, "It's a common consensus among my coworkers that we prefer not having customers see our faces." And a non-binary writer shared, "I appreciated that I felt a bit more anonymous in a mask and more gender ambiguous." And one woman said, "Simply put, I'm sick of being perceived." I have to say, in the past year, no construction guys have told me to smile, and I haven't minded that.
Yeah. And, you know, I love that phrase. It's on TikTok a lot, like, please do not perceive me. And I'm definitely one of those people. I actually really like walking around feeling very anonymous with my mask. And as you said, a lot of women have said to me, it's really a relief to not be catcalled or, you know, to say like, hey, you better keep 6 feet distance from me and have like a, you know, there were valid reasons before to want that. But, you know, you have like a really legitimate reason now. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, mask wearing is very common in other cultures. And I think this is just the first time that it's been introduced into our culture, and people will find a lot of different reasons, some quite serious that have to do with mental health and trauma, some having to do with politics, and some having to just do with everyday life stuff. I've talked to so many people who said their allergies are just so much better wearing a mask. People have talked about how they haven't had a cold in the last year, that the caller who said they're going to keep wearing it on the subway. I think all of these things are are just ways to remember that everybody has their own individual experience and preferences. And again, it doesn't incur risk onto others. And so there could be 1,000 different reasons why somebody still wants to keep it. And not being perceived seems like a valid one to me. You just want to break from perception from the world.
Let's go to Russell online, too, who has a question that maybe you were able to pose to some of the doctors you spoke to. Hi, Russell. Thanks for calling All of It.
Well, thanks very much. I'd like to ask Cheryl, if my understanding is, did she say we should keep up this mask wearing not because we need to based on facts and science, but because psychologically it's helpful for traumatized people? Because I remember, as Fauci said in the beginning, the mask wearing wasn't really for anything other than people feeling safe. And I'd like to also ask, there's a lot of privatization where our rights have become privileges. So our right to breathe freely in public is now a privilege that can be denied. And I'd like to ask Cheryl, do you think some people are neurotically hypochondriacal with OCD? And should we recognize that and find a line? How do we find that line? Thanks very much, lady.
Sheila, what did psychologists talk to you about in terms of, is there a benefit for wearing it psychologically? We are talking about masks outside, everybody. I think somebody was concerned that we were talking about inside. We're talking about outside.
Yeah, we're talking about masks outside, which is something that the CDC has said is okay. So I think it's not quite right to ask whether if it's psychologically beneficial to keep wearing masks. I think the reality is that some people will have a hard time letting go of it because of individual psychological reasons, right? So the difference there is kind of a difference there. When I spoke with a psychologist who works a lot with OCD patients, you know, this is something, it's not as if we're saying somebody who deals with OCD or health anxiety or who has PTSD, now that they should do this forever in order to cope with that. It's just a reality that it might take them a little more time to let that behavior go. And we just need to be compassionate and have a little patience because of what they've been through. So I personally have OCD. I was diagnosed when I was in my 20s. I've been in many, many years of therapy for it. And when the pandemic started, I was really concerned because I've had health anxieties and contamination OCD before. So particularly around stuff that a pandemic might bring up some issues for. And so I've been working with my therapist the whole past year to make this transition easier for me, but some people haven't had those support systems in order to do that, in order to say, you know, I'm feeling really anxious about this thing and I can't let it go. How can I work on that? You know, a lot of people don't have access to therapy that's that directed and targeted at those things. So it's not that it's beneficial, it's just that it's going to happen. And we should let people take the time that they need in order to phase back into not disappearing their COVID behaviors, but it just starting to introduce some of these, like phasing out some of the more cautious behaviors. So I think that that's the best way to think of it. Not is it helpful for them, but just it's going to happen and let's give them the time they need to deal with it.
We got a real, I'm going to end on sort of an uplifting, sweet note that might make you chuckle. Victoria on Twitter says, on not being perceived versus men are subtly flirting with me. First time in years because they can't tell I'm quote unquote older since they can't see most of the telltale signs I have. Or it could just because you're a looker at any age, Victoria. But thanks for the tweet. We really appreciate it. Take some time to read the article, People Aren't Addicted to Wearing Masks, They're Traumatized. It's by Shayla Love, senior staff writer at Vice. Everybody, thanks for sharing your experiences. And Shayla, thanks for sharing your reporting.
Thank you so much for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.